The Gemara in Yudalad and Aleph told the story that there was one Amora who wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. So the Gemara, the one who heard it said, that's humanly impossible. What did he live for 1,000 years? He probably wrote 400 little pieces of paper, Torah Tzivalon Amoshe, and gave it to little children. So then the Gemara tells another story. Omalei Rabba the Rab Zera, a certain Amora, Rab Yanai, planted 400 krumim. Also, is that humanly possible, 400 krumim? Responded, maybe what it means is not a kerem, a whole vineyard, a gigantic vineyard, a whole farm. That's also considered a kerem. So Rashi writes, where is that significant? You just have five, grapevines. You don't have a whole farm. A tiny little thing only has five vines. But if it's in that arrangement, you have four, Shtaim Keneged Shtaim, and Achas Yotzei Zonav, where they have it. I thought they had a diagram at Rashi. So that that has the din of a kerem. Rashi quotes, Legabi Choizam Yorche Al Mechama. When the Jewish army is waging war, Melchemes Harishus. There's a perek Mashoch Melchama in the end of Saita. So the Mishnah talks about Melchemes Harishus and Melchemes Mitzvah. So Melchemes Mitzvah, there are no pturim, no one's potter from the Melchemes Mitzvah. Even Chos and Kala, everybody has to go. But if you have a Melchemes Harishus, we don't have any Melchemes Harishus today. In order to go wage Melchemes Harishus, you have to have authorization from the Bez Nagodol. We don't have any Bez Nagodol today. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's called Tzahal Tzva Hagana. That's in defense. In defense of the citizens in Eretz Yisrael, a defense, even if no one's life is B'sakana, but to defend Eretz Yisrael shouldn't be taken over by another country, even if they don't threaten to kill anybody. That has the status of a Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't need authorization from the Bez Nagol. But Melchemes Harishus, you do. So the Israeli army now is only Tzva Haganah. They only do Melchemes Mitzvah. They're not interested in doing any Melchemes Harishus. And if they would be interested, which they're not, they have enough to take care of the Melchemes Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Chumash, that the Mashuch Muhammad, before they go to wage a war, Melchemes Harishus, Mashuch Muhammad recites the Parsha, Mihu Isha She'eres Hishav Lo Lekocha Yelech V'yoshav Lebeso, Mihu Isha She'na Tekem V'lo Chilo, Mihu Isha, what's the other one? Bonabais V'lo Chanocha, Yelech V'yoshav Lebeso. Yeah, that din, Mihu Isha She'bonabais V'lo Chanocha, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. If you built a house in New York, strictly speaking, all the Jewish men can be drafted into the Israeli army. It doesn't matter whether you're a citizen of Eretz or not. All Jewish men over the age of 20 can be drafted. The Israeli government doesn't do it because the United Nations will close them down. What do you mean? All the Jews all over the world are mechuyev to serve in the Israeli army. But Al Pidin, that's the halacha. They're all, doesn't matter whether you're a citizen of Medina Yisrael or not. So that din, Nihu Isha Shabban and Bais Veloch Anocha, the Yerushalmi says that din of Chanukah's Habayis is only in Eretz Yisrael, that Ptur. Eretz Isha Veloch Lekocha applies all over the world, but Ban and Bais Veloch Anocha, that's only Eretz Yisrael. That's quoted in the Magen Avraham, that Chanukah's Habayis is only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a Machlokes Achronim. What does it mean? The Shiltis has a medrash at the beginning of Bereshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and then he celebrated on Shabbos when he completed the creation. So the same applies whenever anybody builds a house, he should celebrate and make a Chanukah Sabayis. We assume that in a certain sense that's a Sudas Mitzvah. You have a Suda Lekavit Chanukah Sabayis. So the Magen Avraham has a discussion whether that Yerushalmi that says there's no Chanukah Sabayis in Chutz Loretz, that means that in Chutz Loretz there's no mitzvah to make a Chanukah Sabayis. Poshet Pshat has nothing to do with anything. It means that Ptur, the Ptur Me'orcha Melchama, Bona Bais V'loch Hanach, only applies to Bona Bais Be'eretz Yisrael. But the mitzvah to make a party, the Kovet Asudas Hoidoye, you want to express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara Saita, Not that Karim will kill alone. Probably. Not that Karim will kill alone. You know, how big does the kerem have to be? How large does it have to be? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes on Tana, that's where Rashi quotes here from the Sota Daf Mem Beis. If you have Shtayim, Kenegdo Shtayim, and the fifth one is Yotze Zonov, that's also called a kerem. You don't need that it should be a gigantic farm, a gigantic field, however big the Mishnah has about how big the field has to be, that it should be Soda Sheesh B'Kadei Chalukah. It doesn't have to be such a gigantic field. You have Shtayim connected to Shtayim Bachas, the Yotze Zonov, that's also called a Kerem. This may be relevant halacha lemaisa for us, because we live in Chutz Lords. The Psukim and Chumash and Parshas Kedoshim say, Kisavoy al Ha'aretz, when you come to Eretz soil, Unetaitim kol Eitz Michael, Valar Altam Alosa, Shalashanam Arein Yelachem Lo Yoch, the first 3 years, the pears that grow, or could well be nothing, will grow the first 3 years. It takes a while. Sometimes nothing will grow, so you're off the hook. So there's not, you don't have to wait the first 3 years that it gives off pears. If the first 3 years that you planted it, no fruits grow, so you don't have to have Orla. So the din is, the Chumash talks about Orla Beretz Yisrael and Revai Beretz Yisrael. Lashona Harvi is here called Piri Kodesh Ilulim Lashem, and the fourth year, it has a din like Maaseh Sheni. Kodesh Ilulim, you have to eat it, B'Yerushalayim, B'Kedusha V'Tahara. And if it's too much of a tircha to bring it to Yerushalayim, so we take the pasuk that says by Maaseh Sheni and the Chumash, it says, "V'tzata kesa b'yadecha," you can be, there's such an institution as Pinyan Maaseh Sheni, so that carries over to Netta Revai as well. That just like Maaseh Sheni can be poida, so Netta Revai can also be poida. Why does it carry over? Because the Gemara learns out, "Gzera Sheva Kodesh Kodesh." Here it says, "Yo kal piri kodesh ilulam Hashem," and there it says, where's that pasuk? Almost the very end of Chukosai, I think. One of the last psukim of Chumash Vayikra. Chol Maaseh Ha'aretz, Mizera Ha'aretz, M'pri Ha'etz, Kodesh L'Hashem. So Kodesh Kodesh M'gzera Shavah. So just like by Kodesh Kodesh means Maaseh Sheni. So just like by Maaseh Sheni, it lends itself to Pidyon. And if the owner of the field is poida, he has to be Moshe B'Chomish, he has to give. Chomish is, I would have said 20%, but the Gemara says Chomish means 25%. After you add it on, so they carry with the Chomish together, so the Chomish is one-fifth of the total amount. By us, we wouldn't call it, in the modern language, we wouldn't call it Chomish. We would call it Rova, okay, 25%. So the Pasuk and Chumash only talks about Orla and that the Revai and Eretz Yisrael. What about in Chutz Lortz? So Chutz Lortz, the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah at the end of the first Perek in Kiddushin, where it says, all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvahs are tlis, but it's chavis haguf, to observe Shabbos and Kashvus, and Taras HaMishpacha, that's binding all over the world. But chavis karka, if it's an agricultural mitzvah, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And there are a few exceptions in agricultural mitzvahs that apply in Chutz Lortz. So one exception is challah. Challah's Chutz Lortz. It's midirabbanan. Today it's a dirabbanan on top of dirabbanan, because Gemar says the challah even Eretz Yisrael today is on a midirabbanan. Okay? So challah's Chutz Lortz has kulis. The Gemara and Pchervis has dav chav zayin. Challah's Chutz Lortz has kulis that you don't have in any other macholos asuris, because it's a dirabbanan on top of dirabbanan. So challah is one exception to the rule, midirabbanan it applies. And kiloi hakerem applies midirabbanan b'chutz lortz. Kiloi zraim, they did not introduce in chutz lortz even midirabbanan, but kiloi hakerem they did introduce. And then the Mishnah says, the Mishnah at the end of the first part of the Kiddushin says, that orla mi halocha. Orla applies in chutz lortz, it's halocha. What does the word halocha mean? So the Gemara there in Kiddushin, commenting on that Mishnah, has a machlokes amaraim. Does it mean mehilchas medina, means that it's midirabbanan, or maybe it means halacha l'moshe misinai, that it's derais. So most way it's assumed in the Shulchan Aruch that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. There's a Rashi in Brochus, where Rashi sounds as if he has accepted, in order to interpret the Gemara in Brochus, Rashi felt compelled to write that it's only midirabbanan. So it could be that Rashi passed that Orla b'chutz lortz midirabbanan, but that's not the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. We usually assume that the Orla B'chutz L'Orts is Halacha Moshe Messina. Halacha Moshe Messina is Torah Shabbal Peh, but it's clearly a Din D'Araisa. What's usually the difference between a Din D'Araisa and Din D'Rabbanan? Safek. What's a Din Mamakam Safek? So here the Gemara says that's not the Nafkamina. Even if one were to assume that Orla B'chutz L'Orts is Halacha Moshe Messina, the way it's assumed in Yoridei, but Kach Demer Halacha, that Safek Orla B'chutz L'Orts is Mutter. Vadoa Osir Usveka Mutter. So that's a question, what does that mean? So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos attacks the Rambam. He doesn't say where the Rambam is. He accuses the Rambam of having assumed, takes it for granted that the Rambam has assumed that Safek Orla B'chutz L'Orts Mutter, because that's the din by every Halacha Moshe Messina. Safek Halacha Moshe Messina is always Lekula. The Ramban says wrong. He says it's only by Orlo, Kach Nehem Halacha, by other Halacha Moshe Messinai. It's a din der Isis and Sveka L'chumer. So the later commentaries, this is Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos, picks on the Rambam. The later commentary says, where did the Rambam say this? The Ramban accuses him of having assumed, where is the Rambam? Nobody knows where the Rambam is. So there's an interesting Sefer that's called Ara de Rabbanan. Ara de Rabbanan is an expression in the Gemara. Gemara Kiddushin has an expression. There was a machlokes about a certain area of real estate. So the mochet didn't use it, the lekech didn't use it, so the boys in the yeshiva used it to play ball. That was the Ara de Rabbanan. Rabbanan usually means the talmidim in the yeshiva. So it was an Ara de Rabbanan, it was the playground of the yeshiva. That's Ara de Rabbanan. So one of the algazis in the 1700s, that's when the Jews started writing encyclopedias, with things alphabetically arranged, so you can find things. Otherwise you have to know all of Shas to find anything. Because the Gemara is not Mesudadik. The Rambam, you stand a better chance of that. The Rambam has everything in an organized fashion. But in the Gemara, everything is what the Gemara calls Mimerchak Tovi Lachma. You have to know all the Mesichtas in order to know any given din, because it's all over the place. So the Ara de Rabbanan is an encyclopedia. It's a thin little sefer. He has alphabetically arranged every din that there's an issue with is the Raisa de Rabbanan. And he quotes whenever it's a Vefevisha Gemara, he quotes the Raisa de Rabbanan. Whenever it's a Machlokes Rishonim, he'll quote him. Whenever it's a Diyun and Achrayim, he'll quote him. So he writes on this topic of Safek Halacha Moshe Messinai. He tells you where the Rambam is. It's a Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos. It's not fair that the Ramban attacks the Rambam and doesn't tell where the Rambam is. No one would ever guess where. Okay, he dug up a Rambam. So the din is that Safek Orla B'chutz L'Orts is mutter, even if you hold that Orla B'chutz L'Orts Halacha Moshe Messinai, which is Daraisa, and it should have been Sveika Daraisa L'Chumre, it's an exception to the rule. According to Ramban, this is the exception to the rule. It doesn't apply to every Halacha Moshe Messinai. According to the Rambam, it sounds like the Rambam really understood what the Ramban accused him of understanding. That every Suffolk in Torah Shabbal Peh, Ramban is accusing the Rambam of treating Torah Shabbal Peh as if it's the Rabbanan. So every Halacha Moshe Messina is only made the Rabbanan. What means the Rabbanan? Halacha Moshe Messina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is a din d'oraisa. Whatever the rabbis invent is a din d'rabbanan. Why should it be Safek Halacha Moshe Messina Lekula? But that's the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. So there are two types of sveikas. Sometimes you have a Safek. Someone planted a tree and he doesn't remember when he planted the tree. He doesn't have any documents. He can't find his check. He doesn't remember when he planted that tree. Maybe it's already after Orlon, that the Ravai. Maybe it's already the sixth year, and maybe it's the fourth year. Maybe it's the third year. He doesn't remember where he is. So that's a Safek HaMetzias. When you have a Safek HaMetzias, so the din is that Safek Orla B'chutz L'Orts is Mutter. The Gemara even has a Chiddush on top of that. Let's say I go to a Goyish farm and I want to buy peaches or apples or pears or oranges or something, and every tree he has a plaque on the tree when the tree was planted. Let's say it's the din in the Machusa. You have to write a tag on the tree when it's planted. So I come and I say I want a dozen oranges. if I'll follow him and I'll see where he's pulling off the oranges, I'll be able to look on the tree. He didn't put it on. He didn't put it down. The government puts it down. Let's say it's a Jewish government. Jewish government in Russia, when the Khuzarim are in charge of Russia. Okay, so let's say the Jewish government writes down on the tree when the tree was planted. So the Mishnah says you don't even have to follow the guy. You can say, I want a dozen oranges, and shine. He brings you the orange. You don't have to ask him any questions. When did you plant that tree? Did you plant it in the last 4 years? Is it older? Is it younger? You're not mechuyev even a sofek shev shalavar, which usually, let's say, sveka the rabbanu lekula doesn't apply whenever it's shev shalavar bekal. But over here, sofek v'ala b'chutzlo, it's even shev shalavar bekal. Also, you say sofek v'ala b'chutzlo is mutter. So that's by a sofek and metzias. What if you have a sveka the dina? What if there's a machlokes in the tanoim or a machlokes in the maroim? So you also say sofek v'ala b'chutzlo is lekula. So the Gemara says befevish, yes. The Gemara formulates the statement kolam in brachas on daf lamed vav kolam mekol ba'aretz halacha kamoisa b'chutz loretz. If there's a machlekes hatanoim in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a yochid v'rabim, so the accepted opinion is the rabim, and the rabim amachmir. But when it comes to orla b'chutz loretz, it's enough if it's a sofik koldu. That's how the Ran formulates this. The Ran on the Rif at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, he uses that expression. It's a Sufik Koldu. It's not a Sufik would be if it's 50-50. Machlokes HaTanoim 50-50. Not 50-50. It's Yochid V'Rabim. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael we pask on the Chumra and you get Malkus. If you eat the Orlo in Eretz Yisrael, you get Malkus despite the fact that there's a minority opinion that is not Orlo. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's enough. Aloch Kalamekal Ba'aretz, Aloch Kamosu B'Chutz La'aretz. There's a minority opinion in Eretz Yisrael to say that it's not Orlo, so even on Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't follow that opinion, even to spare him from getting the Malkus. We'll give him the Malkus. But in Chutz La'aretz, that's a Sofik Koldehu. That's enough. Like a Sofik Shev Shalavar Bekal. That's never considered a legitimate Sofik, even to say Sveika de Rabbana Kula. If you, let's say, I'm going to buy some kind of a product. I don't know if it's kosher or not. I can easily look on the website. I can call up on the telephone. It'll cost a quarter. I'll call on the telephone and ask what the ingredients are. They'll tell me if it's kosher or treif. So I'm not mechuyev to ask. And orla b'chutz la'aretz, you're not mechuyev to ask. And the safek the rabban lekula, whenever it's epshel levar b'kal, you have no right to be mekal by a safek shepshel levar b'kal. But in safek orla, so you say, safek orla b'chutz la'aretz, kach nem ha'alocha l'hokil, both in a safek and mitzias, as well as a safek and a dina, you also say, that's all about Orla B'chutz. And Eretz Yisrael, the Chumash talks about Orla and that to revive. And Chutz La'aretz, the Mishnah, the Gemara just talks about Orla B'chutz La'aretz. Never says a word about net to revive. What's the din of net to revive B'chutz La'aretz? So that's a famous machlekes, the Rambam and the Ga'onim. The Rambam says that the halacha was only Nemra regarding Orla B'chutz La'aretz, the first 3 years. After the first 3 years are up, the rest of the in Eretz Yisrael, the parsha has, you have Kisa Bael Horus and Taitim Kolatz Machel. So the fourth year, you're called Piria Kodesh Yiludam Lashem. You have to bring it to Rishalayim. You needed the Kedusha Vatar. But in Chutz La'aretz, there is no such din. No din of Revai, there's only a din of Orla. The Rambam gives a Hezber too. The Rambam gives her a Chaim Soloveitchik, has a famous piece on that Rambam. There's no din of Avo Asmokan from Chutz La'aretz. And that the Revai needs Avo Asmokan. He's supposed to bring it to Rishalayim to be Mashlim, the Kedusha. When you bring all the karbonas you have to bring to Rishalayim to be makrev, but that's not called havas makam. Havas makam means when you bring bikurim to Rishalayim, or you bring ma'isushen in that revai, or you bring b'chor behema toira, that's mashlim the kedusha. That's called havas makam. So the Rambam argues that there's no, the whole din of net revai chutz lord doesn't exist because you can never have havas makam from chutz lord. So it can never be completed. You'll never have the full kedusha. So it doesn't even get the basic Kedusha. And the Bali HaTosis follow the Goyim, Tosis and Brachos, quotes the Shiltis, which is a Sefer written in the days of the Goyim. The author of the Shiltis himself was not one of the Goyim. He was a big Goyim, but he wasn't from the Goyim. The name of the yeshiva was Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. And the head of the yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. So, a fundraiser. So, So Rav Achai was never the head of the yeshiva in Bavel, but he lived in the days of the Gaonim. He knew how to learn. He was a great Gaon. And his sefer, the Shiltas, on every sedra has a Shaila Tshuva. What's the din? Let's say this week's sedra, you're probably right. What's the din of Gidan Osher? So he'll quote all the Mishnais and all the dinim. What's the din? It's written in the form of a Shaila Tshuva. Not complicated Shaila, easy Shailas. What's the din of Basa B'cholom? So he gives you all the dinim of Basa B'cholom. What's the din of Shabbos? He gives you all the dinim of Shabbos. So that's a big machlekes where the Netter of I applies B'chutz Lords on that. So how do we pasken? So in Shulchan Aruch, where is it in Yeridayetz? There's one simon for Orla and Netter, everything that the Reish Tzadik Dalet is one simon. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the different opinions that some say many the Goyim and Bali Ataisus are of the opinion that Netter Revai applies in Chutz Loretz also. And the Rambam holds that it doesn't apply. Then the Ramah has a compromise. Kalam Mekal Ba'aretz, Alocha Kemoisai B'chutz Loretz. What's Kalam Mekal Ba'aretz? So the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Hei Omer Aleph has a famous machlokes. Whenever it says in the Mishnais and Orla that there's a din of Ravai, what's the correct girsa in the Mishnais? Should it say Netter Ravai or should it say Kerem Ravai? If it says Kerem Ravai, it means that the din of Ravai only applies to vine, to grapevines. And if it says Netter Ravai, it applies even to oranges and apples and pears, anything that grows on a tree. So the Pashtus is that the Machloikis in the Gemara, whether it's Kerem Ravai or Netter Ravai, Machloikis is only on Ravai. On Orla, the Pashtus is, the Chumash says, Kisavai El Orts and the Taitim Kolets Machal, any fruit-bearing tree. So the Pashtus says that as far as Orla is concerned, that certainly applies to all fruit-bearing trees. There never was a shita that Orla doesn't apply to other trees other than vine, other than grapevines. The Baal HaMor there in Brachas has a very unusual opinion. Baal HaMor says no, that just like there was an opinion that the din of Ravai only applies to Kerem, so that opinion will say the same is true regarding Orla. Orla only applies if it's a grapevine. If it's a Netta, any other tree, there's no din of Orla. How can it be? It's against the Chumash. How can he say against the Pasuk of Chumash? Very strange. So he defends himself. What does he do with the Pasuk? He says, it's not my fault. Rashi said it. Quotes a Rashi and a Saita. And that daf. Rashi Taka says it. The Pella. Rashi says it. So the Balamor and Brachas, daf Lamed Hei, tells you, look at Rashi and Saita and the daf that he tells you over here. The Rashi says, if the correct use in all the Mishnahis is Kerem Ravai, the Ravai is restricted only to grapevines, then Orla also only applies to grapevines, doesn't apply to other trees. So we don't hold, it's a Rashi and a Balamah, that's not the accepted opinion. We hold there's a din of Orla on all the trees, that's a Pasuk and Chumash, and the Machlokes is only by Ravai. Then Taisus on the first daf in Kiddushin has a discussion. When there was one opinion in the Gemara that Kerem Ravai, that the din of Ravai only applies to Kerem, doesn't apply to Netta, means it doesn't apply at all? Or does it mean, no, Minatoira, it only applies to Kerem. But Midrabanan, it applies to all trees. Because you have Mishnahs all over the place that talk about the din of Ravai applying to other trees other than Kerem. So how can there be such a shita? So one opinion it says all those Mishnayas go with that the other mandamer. There was one opinion in the Gemara that the laws of Ravai apply to all trees, not to Ravai. But according to the opinion Kerem Ravai, you have to cross out all the Mishnayas. We don't accept. So that's 2 days in Tosis. Whether the opinion, if you open the opinion Kerem Ravai, doesn't mean that the din of Ravai doesn't apply at all to the other trees. I mean, it doesn't apply in the Torah, but in the Rabbanan it does apply. Nafkemina, where you get Malkus, okay? If you eat Ravai from another tree, do you say it's Osir, but there's no Malkus because it's only in the Rabbanan? You get Malkus Mardis, maybe. Or do you say, no, it's Mutar Legamre? So then Tosis discusses, so what about Ravai b'chutz lords. Kalamei kol baretz halacha k'maisa b'chutz lords. Kalamei kol baretz halacha k'maisa b'chutz lords applies both to orla, safek orla b'chutz lords muta, and to revai. That's b'ferish. And the Gemara, that's b'ferish in the Gemara. So the question is, according to the opinion that Kerem Revai, did that opinion mean to say that by Netta Revai, the din doesn't, by other trees other than Kerem, the din doesn't apply at all? Or did he mean to say it doesn't apply Menatarba, Medrabbanan it does apply? What's an Avkamina, whether it applies Medrabbanan? Can you say, honestly, can you say, that the din of Revai should be a compromise? See, the Mechaber quoted the two opinions, whether Revai applies to Chutz Lords or not. And the Ramah quotes that there's room that there's room to say Kalamei Kol Baretz Halacha K'maaseh B'Chutz Lords, that since there was an opinion that the din of Revai only applies to grapes, even though in Eretz Yisrael we don't follow that opinion, but in Chutz Lords you can be maker like that. That in Chutz Lords the din of Revai only applies to Kerem, it doesn't apply to Netta. So the Ramah quotes such a shita. That's also, I think, from the Shultas. That's also from the Shultas, I think. It's Tur B'Shem HaGaonim. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure the Shultas has it also. That in Chutz Lords you can be Mekal on Revai, not like the Ramah, who says that the whole din of Revai doesn't apply to Chutz Lords at all. No, you mekel on other trees other than Kerem. Kerem, you machmer. I think the kids in Shulchan Aruch writes like that, because that's the psak of the Ramah for Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim usually follow the Ramah. So the kids write like that, that the din of Orla applies to all trees in Chutz Lords, like in Eretz Yisrael. But the din of Revai, that Rashi and the Balamor, we don't consider that a legitimate shita. You can't say kol amekal boris alocha gemosa v'chutz loretz. We don't hold like that. That the din of orlo shouldn't apply to other trees. That we don't hold from at all. That's against the chumash. Kisvoelitz and the taitem kolaitz meichem. But the din of revai, that's a legitimate machlokes. So we in chutz loretz, you only have to observe revai and kerem, not on that. I say there, Rabbi Kiveget has a comment on the bottom of the page. He says, how big does the kerem have to be? So he says, it doesn't have to be a gigantic whole field. If just shtayim keneged shtayim and achas yotze zonov in the fifth one, that configuration, I think in the back of the Gemara they have the diagram. The four in a square shape or a rectangular shape, and the fifth vine is right next to them. So that's enough to be called a kerem. So this idea, this tana, shtayim kenege shtayim achas yetzi zanav, is huva la'aloche. Rabbi Kevege quotes it, la'aloche, that's the minimum size of a kerem. If you have a gigantic field, I think it's certainly called a kerem. I think this is a chiddush. Even though you don't have a gigantic field, you just have shtayim kenege shtayim, chamishas yetzi zanav, that it's also considered a kerem, both with respect to Chayzim Yorcha HaMelchama, that's what Rashi quotes from Perek Mashuach Melchama, and the end of Saita, and Benigeh to the din of Kerem Revai. So that's all business, we left that out. Okay, what else is all business? The other day, we're talking about psuchas and stumas here. The Tosfos here on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Dibra Mascha Umesayen. So Tosfos writes, if you finish the column, Olay, you wrote mamsh to the last line, and you're supposed to make a psucha. A psucha means you have to stop the pasuk in the middle of the line and leave an empty space to the end of the line, and the next line will be a new paragraph, and the empty space at the end of the line has to be enough space to write nine letters, Tesha Oseos. When you write a Sefer Torah, you can have wide columns, and you can have narrow columns. But if you have a column that has, if you have a line that has less than nine letters on it, so the Sefer Torah is puzzle. It has to have at least nine letters. And the empty space for Psucha Rastuma also has to be enough space to write 9 letters. See, there's a big, we mentioned the other day that in the Chumashim they have printed that there are usually all the, in the Sefer Torah, all the columns begin with a Vav. That's what they call in the latest one. They call it Vavi Ha'amudim. Every Amud begins with a Vav. But Bereshis doesn't begin with a Vav, begins with a base. So on Bereshis, they tell you, base Yud, Hei, Shin, and Vav. Now the 6 columns that Bedavka do not begin with a Vav. So the question is, the base is Bereshis, what is the Yud? So there are 2 traditions what the Yud is. The Yud is in Baichi. When Yaakov Avinu is about to die, so he gives a bracha to each one of the children, to each one of the shvatim. He says, Yehuda ato yoducha achecha. So it's a question whether it's the Yud of Yehuda or the Yud of Yoducha. So if it's the Yud of Yehuda, so you'll have, you write on it, you'll start on the top of the column with the word Yehuda ato yoducha achecha, okay? But if it's Yoducha, so I think Yehuda is supposed to be a psucha, right before Yehuda. It's supposed to be a psucha there. And so the previous pasuk ends in the middle of a line, and then Yehuda begins a new line. So if Yehuda has to be the top word on the next column, so on the bottom line, because Yehuda is a psucha, so you're going to write only Yehuda atah, Yud Hei Vav Dalet Hei. It's only 8 letters. There's a blank space in between. Yehuda, Atah, there's a blank space. But you only have 8 letters written. Because Yehuda has to be in between whatever it says before Yehuda. I don't know by heart. In between the previous pasuk and the pasuk Yehuda, there's a psucha. So it has to be empty to the end of the line. Then the next line begins at the beginning and it says, Yehuda, Atah. How can that be? If it only has 8 letters. So the Hechreach, you have to, if the correct tradition is Yoducha, I think by us we have Yehuda. But we don't follow that tradition. But according to those who say the tradition is Yoducha should be on top, so the Hechreach, they're assuming that this Bioshimo, Beis Yud Hei, Shin and Vav have to be on the top line, that's Lehikuva. That's Lehikuva, so therefore, it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, it's Lehikuva. So then you ignore the fact that you only have 8 letters in the line. That's how you have to write it. You got no choice. And the others who have the tradition that it's Yehuda, it could be that it's not, it doesn't possible b'di evit. But if you only have less than 9 letters in a line, that does possible b'di evit. It won't be a kosher sefer Torah. So Taisa Zeh was talking about, let's say you finished the column mamish on the last line, and you finished the sentence, and you don't have empty space at the end of the line to put in 9 letters. So you didn't make a psucha. So when you start the next column, this is quoting from Masechet Sof, you have to skip a line, and then you start the next parsha, the next paragraph. What we call a parsha is really a sedra. That's a sedra. Parsha is Vayishlach, and parsha Vayishlach. A parsha means between a psucha and a stuma, between a stuma and a stuma. A paragraph is a parsha. Parsha in the Torah. And Parshas Vayishlach, more correct, you should call it the Sedra Vayishlach. The 53 Sedras, we spoke yesterday about the Nun Gimel Sedras. So Tosis says, if you end it on the bottom line, and it's supposed to be a Psuch, and you don't have empty space for 9 letters, then you have to carry over the next column, you leave out the top line, you start from the second line. That's what Tosis said. So I was mentioning then, when I was preparing for this year, I was using a funny Tanakh that's on my table. And the way I said it over was my impression from the Tanakh. Yesterday, I checked in a normal Chumash, and I saw that what I said was not correct. What are the Dalet Parshas and the Tefillin? You have Kadesh V'yo Kiriyacha, Shema V'yo Em Shema. So, in between Kadesh V'yo Kiriyacha, there's a Psucha. Then, at the end of V'yo Kiriyacha in the Chumash Parshas Bo, there's a Stuma. But the next parsha in the Shalyad, all the 4 Kadesh, Kadesh, Shema, Yam, Shemaya, all 4 are written on 1 klaf. But each one is written on a different column. So you have 4 amudim, you have 4 columns. So the first column is Kadesh, second column is Vayo Kiviyach, the third column is Shema, the fourth column is Vayo Yam, Shemaya. So there is a discrepancy there. The end of Hayaki V'yacha is says in the Chumash at the end of Parshas Bo, there's supposed to be a stuma, but at the beginning of Shema in Parshas Vayeschanan, there's supposed to be a psucha. So that was the question that I raised. When you have a psucha and a stuma, is that the din how to end the previous parsha, or is the din how do you begin the next parsha? So my impression, based on Rashi and Chumash, was the psuchas and the stumas, the empty spaces, represent the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu an opportunity to digest what he was telling him and how it didn't tell him one din after the other, after the other, after the other. You have to give him a chance to absorb all these dinim. So if it was a difficult halacha, so Rabbeinu Shalom gave him a longer period of time to review it. That's a psucha. And if it's a less complicated din, all the dinim are complicated. If it's a less complicated din, then he gave him less time. There wasn't such a need to have so much time to review. He gave him less time. So according to the simple interpretation of the Rashi, the psuchas and the stumas are the dinim how to end the previous parsha, not a din how to start the next parsha, how to introduce the next parsha. So at the end about Yoki V'yacha, in the end of Parsha's Bai, that's what I saw yesterday, there's supposed to be a stuma. But when you look in Parsha's Vayeschanan, the beginning of Shema, there's a psucha. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that Shema begins with a psucha. I mean, they're not treating the psucha and the stuma, how to end the previous parsha, how to begin the next parsha. I thought that was against Rashi's comment on Chumash. The only one that's supposed to start off with a stuma is Vayoyim Shamaya. That's supposed to start with a stuma. I think they're both at the end of Shema. I forgot already. I looked again today and I forgot. So that's the whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. How do you do that? How do you start on the top of the fourth column? How do you start with a stuma? The stuma has to be the end of the line. You end the first parsha in the middle of the line, you leave an empty space, then you begin the next parsha, next paragraph, on the same line. But if you're writing the fourth parsha on a new column, and you're starting on the top line, so how do you make a stuma? If you skip a line, you start on the second line, that's called a psucha. That's what Tosafot quotes from Masechet Sofer. How do you make a stuma? If you want to start Vayom Shema with a stuma, how do you make a stuma on the top of the column? So that's in Yerideya, Hilchas Sefer Torah. That's Machlokes the Rosh and the Rambam, and that's with the Taz and Hilchas Tefillin, and all the commentaries try to figure out how can you have a pair of Tefillin written in such a way that you won't be involved in the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh. How should you write the Tefillin? So the Taz came up with the Chiddush. Anyway, so what I said over the other day was incorrect. I thought that there was no contradiction between the end of Ayoki V'Yacha and the beginning of Shema. There is a contradiction. The end of Ayoki V'yacha is a stuma, and the beginning of Shema is a psucha, and the practice in Shulchan Aruch is that you start Shema like a psucha. You don't start like a stuma. So that was what I raised the question, that according to what Rashi wrote on Chumash, it should really be a stuma, because the dinam of psucha and stuma is how to conclude the previous parsha, not how to introduce the next parsha. Okay, so that was a footnote to what we discussed before. Oh yeah, then we spoke about the Machlokes Amei Rav Yehuda and Yudal and Amon Aleph. Amo Shal Binyan is Amo Bas Shisha Tvachim, six Tvachim. And Amo Shal Kelim is a Machlokes. So Rav Meir's opinion is that both Amo Shal Kelim and Amo Shal Binyan, they're both six Tvachim. And Rav Yehuda disagrees and he says wrong. He says Amo Shal Kelim is five Tvachim. Amo Shal Binyan is six tvachim, and Rashi always writes that there's a difference between the Mizbech HaPnimi and the Mizbech HaChitza. He got it from Mishnais and from Gemaras like that. That the Mizbech HaChitza, Mizbech HaNechoshes, the Mizbech HaOilo, that was in the Azara, that was Mamula Ba'adom, it was filled in with Adom, it was Nechoshes was hollow, and they used to fill in it with Adom. So that's Dinikim Mechubala Karka. There's a big mound of offer there. Under it, so that's considered mechuba lekarka. That's called. So that's going to be an amo shel binyan. But the mizbech apnimi, that's called the mizbech haktoras, that's in the heichal. So that's a kli. That's not mechuba. It's not memula ba'adama. It's not mechuba lekarka. That's a kli. It sits on the karka. Whenever it's mechuba lekarka, it's not considered a kli. some of the recent poskim have a discussion if you have a toaster, whether you need tefillos kelim or not. So some came up with a humorous conclusion. Some big Talmid Chacham came up. I think it's a joke, but some think it's a real din. That since the toaster only works if you plug it into the wall, so that's mechubel karka, dinik karka. So if it's karka, then it's not called a kli. By definition, a kli has to be not mechubel karka. That's called mechubel karka. I can carry the toaster around. I can't carry it too far because the wire is not so long. But is that called mechubel karka? I thought mechubel karka means like a tree that's rooted in the ground, or if you have a lamppost that's cemented into the ground. But just because I plug in the plug into the to get the electricity, that's called mechubel karka. Some prominent Talmid Chachamim said like that. I personally thought it was a joke. Anyway, so this distinction between Mizbach HaKtoris, if you're all like Rabbi Yehuda, you'll have a difference. All like Rabbi Meir, they're both going to be Amma Shal Vav Tvoch. If you're all like Rabbi Meir, but if you're all like Rabbi Yehuda, one is going to be an Amma Shal Chamisha Tvoch, one is going to be an Amma Shal Shisha Tvoch. So there is a Gemara in Zvochim, I think it is. Gemara says, every day you mock to the Ktoris on the Mizbach HaKtoris, in the morning and in the evening. Twice a day. So the Gemara says, if the Mizbech was Nekamim Komo, someone took the Mizbech away. So the Gemara says, Maktirim Ktoris Bim Komo. You can burn the Ktoris on the floor, where the Mizbech used to be in the Hechal. So even though the Mizbech was removed, and they didn't move it back yet, the Kohen could be Maktir the Ktoris on the floor. So that's a question. Does that only apply to Ktoris? What about the Mizbech HaChitzon? Let's say the Mizbech HaChitzon was moved away. That's a major job because it's Mechubel HaKarka. So it means they took away the whole Nechoshes on top and they took down the whole mound. Now you have the ground level that's the same as the rest of the Azorah. Can you burn Karbonis on the floor? Bimkomo. So that's a discussion in Rishonim. That's a discussion. So the original Gemara only goes on the Mizbach HaKtoris. Mizbach HaKtoris, Shenek Mem Koma, Maktir HaKtoris, Bim Koma. The Mokam is Mekudosh. Like Kitcha Lossi Lovoi. If you hold Kedushas HaMikdosh is Kitcha Lossi Lovoi, so even though the walls of the Beis HaMikdosh were destroyed, but the Mokam still has the Kedushas, so then Makriv, and Afa B'Yashem Bais, it can still be Makriv Karbona. So the Shaila is, and on the Makam HaMizbech, also like that. Let's say in the Bais Sheni, the Oren was not there. So there used to be Zorik the Dam on Yom Kippur, when you have to be Zorik the Dam, Achaz Lamayla, Vesheva Lamato, so there would be, the Kohen Gadol would be Zorik the Dam in front of the location where the Oren used to be. What does that help? But the Oren is not there. So the answer is, Kitchel Osir Lavai. You assume that the Makam, not only the Beis HaMikdash is Kitcha Lossi Lova, every chelik, every room is Kitcha Lossi Lova. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim has the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though there are no walls at all. The Hechal retains the status of Hechal. The Kodesh HaKadoshim retains the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Bein Shnei Habadim, that part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim retains the status of Bein Shnei Habadim, even though there are no Oren, and there's no Shnei Habadim there. We say Kitcha Lossi Lova. So when the Kohen Gadol, the whole Bais Sheni period, for centuries, when the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah on Yom Kippur, here we maza achas lemaila v'sheva lemata. They did it every year on Yom Kippur. What it means? Supposed to be in front of the alpnei hamizbeah, alpnei in front of the orain. So we say that mokam is kitcha losi lovoi. So would you say kitcha losi lovoi? So if the Mizbach HaKtoris was Nekam Emkom, he said Kitcha Lossi Lovoi. That Mokam on the floor has Kedushas Mokam of Mizbeach HaPnimi, Kedushas Mokam of Mizbach HaKtoris, and you could be Makdi the Ktoris Emkom. What about on the Mizbeach HaChitzim? So that's a discussion. That's a discussion. So there's room to distinguish based on this Rashi is basing it on Mishnahis like that. There's room to distinguish and to say that on the Mizbech HaPnimi, it's not Mechubel HaKarka. So if you take away, let's say this is the Mizbeach, you take away the Mizbeach, that Mokam is the Mokam on Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was sitting on the Mokam, it wasn't Mechuger. So the Mokam is Kitchel Asilava, has Kedushas Mokam on Mizbeach. But the Mizbeach HaChitzon is Mechuber LeKarka. So the Mokam on Mizbeach is the top of the Mizbeach, not the floor. When you take away, the Mizbeach was 9 Amos high, and then the four koronas and the four corners, the karnas of mizbech, ama alama alama, each one was a cube. So that's how we say that the mizbech achitzim was 10 amas tall. It was really 9 amas. The top of mizbech was the top. The roof on the mizbech was only 9 amas tall, but each of the koronas was an ama by an ama by an ama. So that's officially, that's the top of the mizbech. So that's the ten amas. So if you're going to take away the whole mizbech, and you're going to say, what, the floor is the makam mizbech? Not true. The whole mizbech was mechubel karka, and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash there is the top of the mizbech. So it could well be that makterin k'toras b'mkoma only applies in the mizbech k'toras because it's not mechubel karka. So therefore, you say the karka under the kli of the mizbech ha'primi, the karka is the makam mizbech. So kitcha losi lavoi. If they remove the mizbech for an hour for whatever purpose, so you say kitchu lasi lover for that hour. The makam where the mizbech used to be has kedushas makam mizbech, but the mizbech achitzan, the makam is the ground level is supposed to be 9 amas higher. And if you took away the whole mizbech, the floor under the whole mizbech, that's not the makam mizbech. Makam mizbech is where the ground level is. Ground level is 9 amas higher. So that's a discussion. The Sfasemis and Brisker Rav and others discussed that taisus. Different opinions there. On the din of Makhtir HaKhtaris Bimkoma, does it only go on Mizbech HaKhtaris? Tosfos thinks that even it goes on Mizbech HaChitzon. But you can't be Zorek Dam. They say you can do HaKhtaris, but you can't be Zorek Dam unless you have an actual Mizbech. But to be Makhtir Amincha, yes. Or to be Makhtir Chalovim or Emurim or Evarim by Korbanot, you burn the whole thing. So Tosfos thinks that yes. And others hold not so. Others hold no. It's only mizbech. Only mizbech apnimi. But that's at least the makam mizbech. Okay. So yesterday we left off in the middle of Shmona Pesukim Shabbatar Yochid Kari Oisa. Yeah, so the Gemara quoted, the Gemara was commenting on the Braisa. The Braisa is this part of the Braisa, it's a long Braisa. First it has Sidron Shal Neviim. Doesn't have to tell you Sidron Shal Chumash, that we know. Bereishit Shmos Vayikba Midbar Dvarim, that we know. But it has the Sidron, by the way, we keep on talking about the Chamishu Chumashi Torah. It's not really true. Halacha L'maisa we paskin, there are 7 Svarim in the Chumash, because Bamidbar is divided into 3. The whole Chumash Bamid Batil Bahimitzoh Ha'orain is Bereshis is 1 Sefer Shmos, and the 2nd Sefer Ayikra is the 3rd. 4th Sefer is Bamid Batil Bahimitzoh Ha'orain. Then Ibnucha Yoimah. So those 2 Psukim are a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai. That's the 5th Sefer. Then the 6th Sefer is at the end of Ibnucha Yoimah till the end of Bamidbar. That's the 6th Sefer. Then you have 4 blank lines and you have Chumash Dvar. So that's the accepted opinion in the Tanoim, that the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Chochmas Bonsa Beisa, Chotzva Amudeh HaShiva. The Torah is considered the Chochma. When you study Mishlei, so the Shlomo Amel keeps on referring to Chochma, he's talking about Chochma Sator. He's not talking about secular education. He's talking about Chochma Sator. So it says, Bonsa Amudeh HaShiva, the 7 pillars of the Chochma are the 7 Chumashim. You can't even use the word Chumash. Chumash means the 5th. It's not a 5th. There are 7. The 4 lines to be mafsik, that's only between Bereshis and Shmos Vayikra Bamid Badvar. But over here you have Nunim Hafuchim to separate it. That is considered a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. How do you know we consider it a Sefer Bifnei Atzma? Because the din is, we said yesterday, that Kisvei HaKodesh HaMetaminis HaYadayim. So let's say you have a Sefer Anovi Yeshaya, and everything, originally the whole Sefer was written, and now everything was erased. All you have left are 55 letters. From the whole Sefer Yeshaya, 55 letters. So the Gemara says, if you have less than Kehei Oisius, it's not Metamis HaYadayim. Because that, the smallest Sefer in the whole Tanakh, those 2 Psukim, V'Yimitzoh HaOr and Avilcha Yoimar, And that's a sefer bifnei atzma, those two psukim, and that sefer, those two psukim have 85 oisim. Peho yoisim, that's the way we pass on la lochem. So that's the smallest sefer in the Tanakh, the peho yoisim. So it's a question, why is it so popular, the Chamish Shulchan Shel Torah? Why do we say that there are 24 svarim in the Kisvei HaKodesh? 24 is on the assumption that there are Chamish Shulchan Shel Torah. There are really seven. But on the other hand, you don't have four blank lines. You only have Nunim Afuchim to separate. So it's a problem. But that's what we assume, La'alochem, that the smallest sefer in Tanakh are those two psukim. Even so, Ha'orin Avinucha Yoimah. So again, so the Brisa gives Sidron Shel Nevi'im, then Sidron Shel Ksuvim. Neither is the way we have it. We have a Christian Bible, unfortunately. And then four lines from the bottom, the Brisa continues, Miksov, and who wrote each one of the Svarim? So this is Moshe Kosov Sifra Parshat Bilam V'Iyov, period. Yeshua Kosov Sifra Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah. The Gemara discusses Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah. Is that really true? That Yeshua Ben Nun wrote it? So that was Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon, whether Yeshua wrote it. So the Gemara says, the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah have a special din, Yochid Koriosim. What does that mean? So that we started first with the Rambam. The Rambam is the most unusual interpretation over here. The most interesting, most fascinating interpretation. Yochid Koriosim means that usually Kriyas HaTorah needs a minion of 10 Asar Nashim Kedolim Menechorim B'nei Bris, and to lay in the Shmonim Psukim Shabbat Torah, a Yochid can lay in with the Brachas, and you don't need to have the whole minion. So the rabbi asked, where did the minion go? What do you mean, where did the minion go? They walked out the middle of Kriyat, where'd they go? A funny kasha. So usually the din is, if you started Kriyas, that's the Yerushalmi has like that, if you started Kriyas HaTorah with a minion, then you can, even though the minion disappears in the middle, if you have Rav of the minion left, not that you had 100 people and you have 51 left, you have Rav of a minion, if you have 6 people left, even though one person is getting an aliyah and one person is laning, so you only have 4 more people in addition to those 2. But bottom line, you have 6 people. So 6 is the roiv of 10. So if it's chila ba'asara, if you started Kriyas HaTorah with a minyan, you can continue. We spoke a little bit yesterday after we finished the learning. The Kesef Mishnah has a suffix whether that din still applies bisman hazeh. Why? Because in the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah says in Megillah, the Kohen who gets the first aliyah would say, Baruch HaShem Avarach, Asher Baruch HaBanu, and then the one who gets the last aliyah, the Maftir, one who gets the last aliyah, would say the Baruch HaShem Asalonu. And in between, they didn't say any brachas. So the Kesef Mishnah, and then in the days of Rav Shmuel, they were the first generation of Amoraim, they were Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So in the days of Rabbi Shmuel, they changed the takana and they required each Olah Latar to have bracha before and after his own aliyah. So the Kesef Mishnah raises a question. You have to go through Rishon and different opinions here. Kesef Mishnah raises a question. Maybe in the days of the Tanakh, there was only one bracha before, one bracha after. So you treat the whole Kriyas HaTorah as one unit. So if there was a minyan of 10 at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah, then you can, and then the minyan left, you only have 9 people. You can finish with the bracha shenasalon at the end because you started that one unit. All Kriyas HaTorah is one unit. But maybe bizman hazeh that the takanas Rabbi Shmuel is observed. So each aliyah is a separate unit. So maybe if the minyan disappeared in the middle of shlishi or revi or chamishi, you can finish that aliyah. You can say shenasalon. They can't continue. You can't start the next aliyah. Just like the Mishnah says, you need asara for Kriyas HaTorah. You need asara for maftir. What do you need another? He says you need asara for Kriyas HaTorah. Means you add asara for Kriyas HaTorah. And then in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, somebody left. So you can finish all Kriyas HaTorah till the end. But then you can't say the maftir. Maftir is a new unit. So you have to start with 10. So just like maftir is a new unit, and the fact that you started the parsha with asara doesn't help. So maybe today, because Mishnah is a suffering, maybe today, each aliyah is a separate unit. And you can only finish that aliyah. Maybe you can. So the Pashtus is we don't, once in a long while it comes up, the Shaila comes up. If you have a minyan, a Sheni v'chamishi, people have to run to work. Got to make a parnasa. So sometimes in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, someone has to run out, and you only have 9 people left. So can you finish or not? Mishkan HaSanke wants the paskan like that, the Lechumra. That's not the generally accepted opinion. Mishkan HaSanke says he was an original thinker. So he thinks like that day. It's a question. Is that really true that in the days of the Tanoim, they only said the bracha, the Kohen said the bracha before, and the one who got the last aliyah said the bracha after, and the people in between, no one said that's what it says in the Mishnah. So the Ran on the Rif, there on Megillah, understood that all of the people were Yotzevich and Mekoina. Everybody was in shul from the beginning to the end. And everybody had in mind, when they heard the Kohen say the bracha before, in case I get an aliyah, I should be Yotzevich and Mekoina. And then everybody stayed in shul to the end of the whole Kriyas HaTorah was over. So then when the last Oyla LaTorah says the bracha Shenasan Lanu, the previous Odom LaTorah had in mind to be Yotzevich and Mekoina. So it's not that they made a major change between the Zman HaTanoim and Rabbi Shmuel. In the days of the Tanaim, they would rely on Shemei Kohen. In the days of Rabbi Shmuel, Mevnei HaNechnos, Mevnei HaYotzim, the Kriyas HaTorah was like a train station. People would be coming in late, and they would be leaving early. They would get Aliyah. So you can't rely on Shemei Kohen. He gets Shlishi. He wasn't there when the Kohen said the bracha before. Or he gets the first or the second Aliyah. He doesn't plan to be there at the end of the third Aliyah. He has to run to work after the second Aliyah. So that's why they introduced a bracha on each one. But even in the days of the Tanaim, Alpidin, each aliyah had both a bracha before and bracha after, but the Ran says. And others, because Mishnah obviously is not thinking like the Ran. He thinks that maybe there was a major change from the days of the Mishnah to the days of the Amoraim. So that's a discussion. So the Mishnah and Siyankev thinks you have to be machma like that. That was Manzai, you should treat every aliyah as a separate unit. But I don't think that's not the generally accepted opinion. You don't assume like that. So here, the Rambam says, you can learn Shmonim Psukim Shabbat Torah. You don't need a minyan. So the Rabbi says, V'hasor lehechon holcho, where did they go? It means, you're going to learn. We learn V'zayis HaBracha on Shmini Atzeres, or in Chutzlos, we learn V'zayis HaBracha on Simchas Torah. So what you don't have a minyan, you're just going to learn the Shmonim Psukim. You're just going to learn the Shemana Psukim Shabbat Torah. No, you're going to start from the beginning, then the minyan is going to disappear in the middle. So the minyan disappears in the middle, so you have a right to finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So what does it mean? The Rambam says you can lay without a minyan. It means you don't even have six left. You don't even have a right. They started with 10, and then some left, and some left. You don't even, not that one person left, and you have 9 people left. Then we assume you can finish the whole segment. 6 people left, and you only have 4 left. 6 people left the shul. Only 4 people remain in the shul. So you don't have a rive of the minyan. And you can't finish. So the Rambam learns, that's okay. Yochei Karyosim, you don't need a minyan. Why don't you need a minyan? Only what Moshe Rabbeinu is, that don ha-nevim. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was, that has the status of Dovash HaBikdusha. For that you need Asar. But the other nevim, if the Shmarim Psukim Shavatar is written by Yeshua Benun, it is not called Torah. It's an addendum to the Torah. It's a footnote, but Yeshua ben Nun is not Moshe Rabbeinu, so it doesn't have the din of Dovash HaBikdusha. So according to the Rambam, we understand a little bit why the Gemara says it's Toli Zebizeh. So the Gemara suggested that should we say Keman Hazla here in the middle of the Keman Hazla, whose opinion? What do Amar Abshua Bar Abba, Amar Abgidla, Amar Abshmanis, Moshe Yachid Kari Yosmi? You don't need a minion. Is that only like the sheet that it was written by Yeshua ben Nun? So it's not Dovash HaBikdusha, you don't need a minyan. The Gemara says, not necessarily. I feel the tamer Reb Shimon, even if you hold like Reb Shimon, the Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything, it wasn't written by Yeshua ben Nun. I feel the tamer Reb Shimon, hol the ishtanu. What is ishtanu? So the Rambam says, hol amashmoh nachamisas Moshe. Since the simple reading sounds like it was written after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, so even though it's not true, even though the truth is that it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but since it sounds like it was written later, so therefore it's not a Dovash HaBikdusha. Why? What does it mean, Holy Ishtanu Ishtanu? Kol HaMashmon, the superficial reading conveys the mistaken impression that it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the superficial reading is shouldn't convey any mistaken impressions. You should look into it and ascertain that Rabbi Shimon says it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the word mashma'on doesn't mean the superficial understanding, the mashmois. Sometimes in modern Hebrew, the word mashma'ut means meaningfulness, not The simple mashmaut is, the superficial reading is like this. Mashmaut means, is it significant? Does it have mashmaut or not? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Vayamashal Moshe Eved Hashem, it hadn't yet happened. So it cannot be that it was Niskadish at the time. He was suggesting maybe that's what the Rama means. The Gemara says the difference between Shmonim Pesukim Shabbat Torah and the rest was Kol HaTorah Kula HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Kosev Moshe Omer V'Kosev Mikam Yelech. The section at the end of the Chumash, the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Kosev B'Dema, Moshe Rabbeinu is crying, but he's writing it. Instead of being Omer V'Kosev, he's crying. So what's why is he crying? He's crying because it's about his death, and he's crying that he's going to die. Rav Soloveitchik commented coldly that everybody's going to die. We're all going to die. So what is there to cry about? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is a super genius. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes emotional. He starts crying because he's writing about his own obituary. Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe he's crying because it wasn't true yet. Vayamashal Moshe Eved Hashem. So what Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to be Mekadosh it. Everything else that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Chumash was already true, if it's in the past, or it's a Nevuah for the future, so it's going to become, so it's a Nevuah. Nevuah means it's going to become true in the future. But here it's written B'loshan Ovar, but it wasn't true yet. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it during his lifetime, according to Reb Shimon, that's Machlokes Reb Shimon Reb Yudah, whether Yeshua ben Nun wrote the Shmonim Psukim Moshe, so even if he said that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, but it wasn't true yet, and it's written B'loshan Ovar. So it wasn't this Kaddish till after it happened. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was crying, because he didn't succeed in being Kaddish Kol HaTorah Kula. He felt bad that the last paragraph was not in this Kaddish Al Yodai, because it wasn't true yet. Maybe that's what it means. Ha'ala Mashman Achamis is Moshe, so it wasn't in Kaddish until Moshe Rabbeinu dies later. So this could be the Pshat in the Gemara according to the Rambam. What does the Rabbeinu Meshulam have a different shot? This is quote, Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Rabbeinu Meshulam Hoya Matzach Mikan. He says, we have an institution of a Bal Korei who lanes, and the Olah LaTorah lanes along. So you have two people laning. But the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, you don't have two people laning. Yochi Kariyosim. Instead of having the Bal Korei lane and the Olah LaTorah lane along, only the Olah LaTorah lanes. The Bal Korei should not lane. Okay. The regular Balkor should not lay with him. So the Rabbeinu Tam makes fun of it. This institution that your Balkor lanes and out loud, and now the Torah lanes softly, that was invented in the days of the Goinim. Because they saw Meikar Adin in the days of the Tanoim. In the days of the Gemara, whoever got the Aliyah had to lay in the Parsha. Many of the Sephardim still do like that. A person who gets an Aliyah has to lay in his own Parsha. But in the days of the Goyim, they saw that a lot of people don't know the Nusach, and they don't know the Yivra, they don't know the Nigin, they don't know the Trap, they don't know how to pronounce the words. And they're going to kill the whole Aliyah. You won't be out to the Kriya Sater. So Kedesha Lo Levayesh, it's Mishaini Adeya, the Goinim came up with this institution, the Balkori should lay on behalf of the Olah LaTorah, Mikra Din the Olah LaTorah should lay on his own. So they introduced the Balkori should lay, Kedesha Lo Levayesh, it's Mishaini Adeya, shouldn't they? The Olah LaTorah should not be embarrassed. Yet who says that that's a valid consideration, that's a reason the Institute of Takona, so Tosafot quotes the Mishnah Bikurim, that the Mishnah records like that, that originally the practice used to be Kol Mishi Yodea, Tosafot quotes, Bikurim Perigimel Mishnah Zayin, Kol Mishi Yodea Likras, the farmers. Not all the farmers were so literate. Some of them were not able to read. So they used to have a plaque that had Aram Yabudovi on it, but it wasn't written. You're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Shalom. So they had Aram Yabudovi in Rosh HaTevis. Aleph, Aram Yabudovi, Vayer Ben Tzraim, Avav Mem. So that's not there. And then the next pasuk, you have to be able to figure out the Rosh HaTevis. So the first pasuk is not so hard. That's what we say, that's what we recite on Pesach night, Aram Yavidav, Yerim Mitzrayim. But many of the people were not able to be Mepaneach all the Rosh HaTevis there. And the Gemara says they're not allowed to write it, spell out the words, because it's less than a Sefer Shalom. You're not allowed to write, that's Shalukich Savai. Just like there's a din called Psuk de la Paske Mosh, and not like Paske, and not allowed to learn Shalak Kirchsovai. So you're not allowed to write it Shalak Kirchsovai. So Kirchsovai is, you have to have a Sefer Shalom. So that's why they had only a plaque, a metal plaque, with the Rosh HaTevis of Aram Yavinovi. Many people are not able to figure out what the Rosh HaTevis stood for. So the Mishnah recalls, called Mishnah Adel Likras Korbi Atzma. Whoever knows how to figure out the Rosh HaTevis, would recite his own Aram Yavinovi. Sheini Adel Likras, whoever didn't know how. Makrin Lefanov, that's a question, what that means. So some interpret, someone else says it for him, Aram Yavinovi, and he's the Otsi Vishamer Kaina. And others say no. Someone would say, on behalf of the farmer, and say after me word for word, Aram Yavidavi. The farmer would say, Aram Yavidavi. Vayerid Mitzrayimah. The farmer would say, Vayerid Mitzrayimah. That's the question. How do you translate Makrin Lefana? Makrin Lefana means there would be Moitzi, the farmer, with the Aram Yavidavi recitation, with the din of Shemei Kohenah. Or no, they would say after me, word for word, a phrase for phrase, Aram Yavidavi. That's a question. The Netziv has a tshuva where he talks about the two ways to interpret the Mishnah. When the Makra Lefana means that the farmer would be Yotze with Shemei Kohina, or the farmer would say word for word. And why they introduce this, that even one who is able to figure out on his own the Rosh HaTevis, Aram Yavirovi, they wouldn't allow anybody to say on their own, Kadesh Alon Levayesh, it's Misha, and you're there. That's what it says in the Mishnah. You have a long line of farmers. And the first five farmers know how to rattle off the Rosh HaTevis Aram Yavidavi. Then the sixth guy is going to be humiliated. The other people know how to figure out the Rosh HaTevis. He has no help. So next day he's not going to bring Bikurim. Nimnim Alahavi. They stop bringing Bikurim. I should travel 2 days in order to come to Beis HaMikdash to be humiliated in public. I won't bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. I won't be Mafresh Bikurim. Many have the practice. Years ago there used to be more. European Rabbanim used to have the practice, Rabbi Soloveitchik included, that under the chuppah, when the chosin says harayat, so not every chosin knows what he's supposed to say. So they would have the rabbi say after me, harayat, chosin says harayat, mukudeshes, li, kadas mo, b'tabazu. They would say word for word, and even if it's a person who knows what you're supposed to say, so they didn't want to embarrass those who don't know, so they would be makran and lafana by everybody. Rabbi Soloveitchik would say, other Rabbanim and Nishik also, many of the European Rabbanim had that practice. They would say Harayat for everybody, even for those who were learned and scholarly, because Kadesh Ola Levayesh is Mishani Yadeh. So Tosis Tainis, what is Rabbeinu Meshulam talking about? This whole practice that we have today, that you have a Bakori lanes, and the Torah says along, Bakor lanes be called Rome, and other Torah said lanes belachash. This was instituted in the days of the Goyim. How can he read that into the Gemara? Amar Agin Lamarav, Shmoni Pesukim Hashabbat Torah. You don't have the Balkori with the other Torah lane concurrently. You only have the other Torah lane. He says it doesn't. It's not true because in the days of the Gemara that was not the practice. He can't interpret the Gemara like that. So historically, it's not true. The Pshat is not true. But what did he think the Pshat was? What the Rav war? And what does that have to do? What does that have to do with whether Yeshua ben Nun wrote it, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it? What does it mean? So Tosis later explains by the quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the second half of the Tosis. Hodama Yerushalmi ben Megillah. The line begins with the word Yerushalmi ben Megillah. Where it says one of the Amoraim walked into shul and had a person, whoever got an aliyah, was laning. So he said, "You're not supposed to do like that." Just like at Maimon Hasina, the Torah was given Ayidei Sarsur. The Rabbanu Shel Olam gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "I want you to stand here and you tell them over Anochi Hashem Elokeinu. You tell them over everything that I'm saying." Anochi Amid Beini Beinechem. How did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He's the middleman in between Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael to transmit the Aseres HaDibros to the Bnei Yisrael. So just like at Maimon HaSinai, it was given, the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael Ayidei Sarsur. Sarsur is a shatchen, a middleman, what do you call a real estate agent who matches up the fellow who's selling a house, or a headhunter who finds the right man for the right job. He knows how to assess people. He knows what to recommend. So here, you need a middleman by Kriya Sator. Ayidei Sarsur is the middleman. So it's considered as if HaKadosh Baruch, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch tells Moshe Rabbeinu the Aseres Hadibros, and Moshe Rabbeinu says them over line by line to the Bnei Yisrael. So too, by Kriyas HaTorah, what is so too? So we usually assume you have to have a gabbai on the side. So the gabbai, it looks as if the gabbai tells the balkore what it says in the Chumash, and then the balkore lays it out loud. It looks as if it's Ayyidei Sarsa. So this Rabbeinu Meshulam thought, historically, it's not correct. He thought that was the practice in the days of the Gemara, that the Balkuri would lane and the Olal HaTorah would lane softly. So it's as if you have the Olal HaTorah saying softly to the Balkuri what he should lane, and then the Olal HaTorah should say it before the Balkuri, then the Balkuri says it afterwards. He hears from the Olal HaTorah what he's supposed to lane, and he says it. So it's as if the Olal HaTorah is giving the Torah to the Sarsur, the Balkuri, and Balkuri is giving it over to the Tzibur, just like on the occasion of Maimon HaSina. So then the Gemara says, but that's only on Kol HaTorah Kula, up until the Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah, because that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu to give Bnei Yisrael, it's all Yidei Sarsa. But if the last section in the Chumash, Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah, was written by Yeshua Ben Nun, so he's not the Sarsur. So that's a footnote in the end of the Chumash. It was written by Yeshua Ben Nun, it's a footnote. It's not the Ruas Moshe Rabbeinu. So just like the Rambam says, therefore you don't need a minion, it's not a Dovish Bigdusha. So the Rabbeinu Meshulam understands that since it's not Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's not like Kabbalah Satorah de Sarsur. So you don't need this system of two people. The Olal HaTorah should lane softly, and the Kuri Batorah, the Balkuri, should say it out loud, as if the Olal HaTorah told them in advance what to lane, and then he says it. So that's how Gemara starts off. That din, Yochli Kari Yosem, you shouldn't have two, the way the Rabbeinu Meshulam reads it. You shouldn't have two people saying the Lenin at the same time, the Balkuri out loud and the Olal HaTorah softly, because this part of the Torah was not given Ayidei Sarsa, not like the rest. Gemara says, even if you hold like Reb Shimon, the whole Chumash, including the last Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but still, the last section, there was no Sarsur. The last section, according to Rabbeinu Meshulam, all the Ishtanu, it's a footnote, like a P.S. at the end of the Chumash. It's an addendum to the Chumash. It was written by Yeshua ben Nun, so for sure, it's not part of the Torah, it's not part of the goof of the Torah that was given like the Sarsur. And even if it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was written by Torah as a footnote in the Chumash. A long footnote in the Chumash. And you don't need a Sarsa for that. That's apparently how the Rabbeinu Meshulam understood it. Yeah, but Taisa rejects Rabbeinu Meshulam historically. It's not correct. It can't be that that's Pshat. Rav is the first generation of Amoraim. And this practice of having the Balkore is from the days of the Goyinim. It's not correct. So how do they learn Pshat? So the Rabbeinu Tam learned Shad Yochid Kari Yosem does mean you should only have one person lane. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitcher used to be Machmer for the Rabbeinu Meshulam Shad, even though historically it's not correct. Rabbi Soloveitcher said his father would get Chosin Torah, and the Chosin Torah reads Vayom Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. So he would lane out loud. Instead of having the Balkari lane out loud, he would prepare, and he would lane the last Aliyah out loud. Yeah, but we really don't paskan like this because it's mamish, it's not historically, it's not correct. So what pshat do we, the Rambam pshat is a funny pshat, you don't need a minion. We don't accept that Rambam. It's an interesting pshat, how it fits into the Gemara. We don't accept that. So the two pshatim, there are four pshatim here. So two of them, the Rambam's pshat is not accepted. The other pshat is historically not accurate. They yes, and the Rabbeinu Meshulam. He left with two other pshatim. So the Mordechai course of pshat Yochid Kari Yosam, the Chosin Torah should be the Yochid HaMiyuchad, the most outstanding Talmid Chacham in the shul on Simchas Torah. Or in Eretz Yisrael, they lane the Zayis HaBracha on Shmini Atzeres. They celebrate Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres. So it should be the most learned person. Why should be the most learned person? So Pasha Pshat I would have said, but it's 100% incorrect. You see in the Gemara. Pasha Pshat I would have said, that I remember when Rav Soloveitchik passed away, that when was it? Almost 30 years ago. So some people would ask Shabbos to Rav Soloveitchik. But then Rav Soloveitchik passed away. Oh, there's nobody around to ask Shabbos to, therefore they can do whatever they don't please. No one is around. Your Shabbos are not so complicated that you need Rabbi Soloveitchik, you don't need Rav Moshe Feinstein to tell you the answer to your Shabbos. And kids are shulchan up. No, Rabbi Soloveitchik is not here. There's nobody in the world to ask, and they can do whatever they don't please. So that's why it says in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayam Shem Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had appointed Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun took over, and everybody listened to Yeshua ben Nun, just like they listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why you have the rabbi. Yeshua ben Nun died a few years ago, a few millennia ago. So whoever is the rabbi in the community, so we have the minigas, the rabbi gets chasen Torah, as if all the people say, he's the Yeshua ben Nun of our generation. Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua ben Nun died, many generations, they all died. But we still have Talmid HaChachamim who are going to take their place. That would have been a nice pshat. Yochid Kariyosim. There's a source for that. Yochid means Yochid and Yuchid, unique. The word Yochid sometimes means unique. It doesn't always mean one. Like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. So the Rambam sounds like he understood that Hashem Echod means that we believe in monotheism. There's only one God. And Rashi interprets Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the invisible God in heaven above, who used to be Elokeinu, only the Jewish people worshipped him. The day will come that he will be Hashem Echad, he will be accepted by all the nations in the world. That's why the Gemara says we have, from Malchius, you have three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Ksuvim, three psukim from Nevi'im, and then you have one, the tenth pasuk is from Chumash again. So the Gemara says there are no four psukim in the Chumash where it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. There are only three psukim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. The Gemara says Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad also counts as a pasuk from Malchus. The word Melech doesn't appear, but that's what the meaning of the phrase is. That's Rashi's pshat. So Hashem Shu Elokeinu Hashem Echad Lasi Love, it will be accepted by all the nations of the world. That's what Malchus is all about. They should come, that all the nations of the world will recognize the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara has that pshat. Rav Soloveitchik taught that there's a third way, and there's a Gemara Chagiga like this on Daf Gimel. Gemara Chagiga says, "Atem asisuni chativ achas bo'elam, af ani aseh eschem chativ achas bo'elam." The Jewish people have accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as something unique, as a being who's unique. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." You see, the Gemara Chagiga is interpreting Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. There's nothing in the world like him. If he's unique, it means that there's only one God. If there would be more than one God, he wouldn't be unique. So that's included in the meaning. But the word Echad sometimes means unique. Rav Soloveitchik was brought up in a Lubavitch community. He was brought up in Chaslavish. His father was the rabbi there. So he said the Lubavitcher minig in many communities is that they don't say Echad Miyodea at the end of the Seder. What do they have against Echad Miyodea? Because he say Shnai Miyodea, Shlosha Miyodea, Arba Miyodea means two, three, four. Echad Miyodea means one. So they said that's not what it means. Hashem Echad doesn't mean like the Rambam says that there's only one God. Hashem Echad means that God is unique. Memele, there's only one God because he's unique. But Echad means Meyuchad. The Gemara Megillah like that. The Rabbi Akiva said, the word Echad in biblical Hebrew sometimes means unique and means Meyuchad. So that's the third pshat. Ramo quotes that from the Mordechai. Yochid Kariyosa means you give the Aliyah Chasen Torah, you give the Chasen Torah Aliyah to the biggest Talmud Chacham, the Echad HaMiyuchad in the Shul. So, if not for the Gemara, I would have said that's the reason why we're mechabed the Chasen Torah with the Aliyah, and we mean to imply that even though Moshe Rabbeinu died and Yeshua ben Nun died, and so many centuries, so many millennia went by since then, we're going to follow the rabbi in our community like they followed Moshe Rabbeinu, like they followed Yeshua ben Nun. That's the theme of the last Aliyah. But it doesn't, that it's a nice pshat, I think, but it doesn't fit into the Gemara. Why did the Gemara think that that's a good practice? Yochanan Yuchan Shikari Yosam. That should make sense, whether it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu or Yehoshua ben Nun. It shouldn't make a difference who wrote it. Why does it depend who wrote it? So I don't know how that pshat fits in. That you give the aliyah to the biggest Talmud Chacham, Yochid Kari Yosem. Why should that depend whether it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu or Yehoshua ben Nun? Then the fourth pshat, we follow the fourth pshat also. The fourth pshat is Rabbeinu Tam. That Yochid Kari Yosem means you shouldn't break it up into two aliyahs. There are eight psukim. Vayom Shamoshe Ben Hashem till the end of the Chumash, there are eight psukim. Ibn Ezra Chumash writes that the discussion here on Adaf, whether who wrote the Shmoneh Psukim of Shavat Torah, doesn't only apply, the Machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, doesn't only apply with respect to the last eight psukim beginning from Vayom Shamoshe Ben Hashem. It starts before that, at the beginning of the whole story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Ben, Aleha Ha'avarim Hazeh, and you're going to die soon. It goes on the whole description of the whole obituary, not just the last eight psukim. But Tosfos works on the last eight psukim. So Tosfos says, eight psukim, you really should be able to, you can divide it into two, you can give two aliyahs, four psukim or four psukim. If you would have had nine psukim, you could divide it into three. According to the Ben Ezra, you do have nine, Yochid. Shmona psukim Shavat Torah means the parsha, the hash of the shmona psukim. So you can, theoretically, you should have been able to divide it into quite a few aliyahs. The last section, but that's the halacha, Yochid Kari Yosem. That whole section should be one aliyah. Why? Why should it be one aliyah? What does it have to do with who wrote it? Unless you say also that the Gemara thought if Yehoshua ben Nun wrote it, so it's not really part of the text of the Chumash. It's an addendum, it's a footnote to the historical footnote to the Chumash. So the whole din that you give aliyahs and you can make up every three psukim, can make another aliyah. That's when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you're laying the text of the Torah. But if you're laying the addendum, so the addendum, you should knock it off. One person should read the P.S. One person should lay the whole thing. So that would make sense if you hold that it's an addendum that was written by Yehoshua ben Nun. But if it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's an integral part of the Chumash. Mar says, no. All the Yishtan. No, it's also an addendum. Even if you assume that it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an addendum to the Torah. The Yikud text of the Torah is over before you get to this obituary. So that pshat can fit in a little bit. But these are the famous, the four pshatim. And what does it mean? Yochid Kari Yosem. Then the Gemara says, Rab Shimon disagrees with the first Tana, with Rab Yehuda, Rab Nechemia, according to the second verse. Efshe said, V'toro chasor esachas, and said, V'okech seif ha-toro zeh. It says, V'yikachal of Moshe lichtu, V'kal tema ha-toro zeh, atumam. He finished writing everything. What do you mean? The rest was written later. Can't be. Elo, everything was written, Rab Shimon said, everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. But the difference is, At kana kodesh brochoim and Moshe, and the kose, and kami al kodesh brochoim and Moshe, and Moshe kose bidema, he's crying. That everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a tesis in Menachos on this daf and daf. Where was it? Daf Mem. I think it's Daf Mem. Or Daf Lamed, I forgot. Really. So the tesis writes that there was a minig asofrim. Here they just had a Siyam Sefer Torah a couple of weeks ago, the day of the Chag HaSmicha. So they left out a few Oisiyos at the end, so they were filling them in the last day. So the minig is that whenever the Sefer writes a Pasuk in the Chumash, he writes a letter, so he first pronounces the word, like the Sefer has to have another Sefer Torah in front of him, and he's copying from that. This Sefer Torah, the Sefer had already copied the last few Psukim, and he wrote Hollow Oisius. So that's the meaning. So he was copying everything till he made out. Now you don't need another Sefer Torah when you're just filling in the hollow parts. So the meaning is that before the Sefer, he looks in the Sefer Torah, so he pronounces the words Bereshis Bor Elokim Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz. Then he writes it over here. Every time he wants to write a word or a letter or a phrase, he first says it, and then he writes it. So Tosfos says, Mikan ktsas mach neminig asofrim, that they say they pronounce the words that they plan to write before they're about to write the words. So why is it Mikan Ktsas Mach Leminigas? That's exactly what it says in the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ayim HaMoshe, Ayim HaBekoysev, is not what it says in the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik said B'Shem, it's a striking Lashon. Ktsas Smach L'minig HaSofer. So very strange. Rav Soloveitchik said B'Shem Rav Chaim, that when it says Moshe, Ayim HaBekoysev, it doesn't mean he muttered the words under his breath. He mumbled the words softly. And then he wrote them. Moshe Ayim means he delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. First he made it into a Chepetz of Nevuah. Nevuah is Miloshem Bari Nibs Vosayim, Tunuvah. Nova means produce. So Nibs Vasayim is the produce that comes out, the words that come out from the mouth. The first Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. And then afterward had a shame Nevuah, then he wrote it down and it became a Chepetzo Shel Torah. And then and the last section, Kisu Lechemes HaShira HaZayis, Shiras HaZinu, that was the Netziv writes, Ashir Hazinu, it says, Kisvu Lechem HaSashir HaZos V'lamdes B'nei Yisrael Sima B'fiyam. It was the reverse. First they wrote down, Kisvu Lechem is in the plural, Kodesh Baruch is speaking to Moshe and Yeshua, and he tells them they should first write down Shir HaZinu, and then they should deliver the Nivor. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said B'Shem Rav Chaim. That's the true pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Oimer, he delivered Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael and then Vekoisev, except for Hazinu. And the Shmonim, Sunim Shabbat Torah, that was Bikam Yelach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, Moshe Koisev Bidema, he didn't deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. Because it wasn't the Nevuah B'Loshon Azit. It says, Vayom El Shem Moshe. It's not true yet. So he didn't tell it over to Bnei Yisrael. Because it's not true. If it would have been written B'Loshon Azit, so then he'd be able to tell them over the Nevuah that he's going to die. But it's written Meloshe Nova, so it wasn't true that he didn't deliver the Nevuah. So it's not really a mocker to the Minig HaSofer. So that's what Tosfos writes. Mikan Ktsas Smach LeMinig HaSofer. If you read the Braisa superficially, you'll come up with that pshat, like the Minig HaSofer, that you have to pronounce the words in the Pasuk before you write them in the Sefer Torah. But that's not really what it means. Moshe Ayim HaVekoysev means that he delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael first, and then after he had a Din Nevuah, then he gave it a Din Torah. Yeah, the Minig, the Ramah quotes a Minig from the Marta Yochid Karyos, means the Yochid Miyuchad, the most outstanding Talmud Chacham. So there's a Mishnah in Brachos that Shliach Tzibah Shetor, if the Chazan gets to tumult in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz and he can't continue, he doesn't know what to say, because in the days of the Gemara they davened by heart. They weren't allowed to write down the Nusach HaTfilah as part of the Torah Shemalpeh. They had to write it down was in the days of the Goinim, Siddur Avam and Goin, and that was for the daily davening, then for the Yontem Digger davening, that they had to came in the days of Rishonim, later. So the Mishnah says, Shliach Tzibah Shetor, Yamer Acher Bimkomo, V'lo Yehei Sarvim Ba'os HaShor. You shouldn't give the Gabbai a hard time. If the Gabbai tells you, please take over Chazor HaShatz, everybody's waiting. So Tichat Tzibur, so you shouldn't be a Sarvon. So the Gemara comments on the Mishnah, that's only because of Shliach Tzibah Shetor. But let's say before the davening begins, the davening is going to begin at quarter to 8, so the Gabbai at 7:30 or 7:40, he's asking around, would you like the daven for an omen? We're looking for someone to function as the Shliach Tzibah. So then the Gemara says, the Acheretz dictates that you should turn it down, because that's a position of kavod, to be the Shliach HaTzibah, that the whole Tzibah is relying on you to recite the Chazaras HaShatz. So that's not right. The Gabbai says, would you like that? Yeah, I'm the greatest Baal Tefillah, I can function as the Shliach HaTzibah. So the Acheretz dictates he should turn it down the first time. Say, I'd rather not. Then the second time he should get ready. Then the third time he should go. So, but when they give you an Aliyah, the Gemara says, Shlosh Adar Mekatzo Yama Mishnos Mishalodim. There are three things that cause you to have a Kitza Yamim instead of having Arichas Yamim. So one of them is, if they give us a Dekan Aliyah, that's Mikatsu Yamim Mishnos Mishalodim. So over here, when they call a fellow up for Chosim Torah, they're saying, we consider you the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Shul. So to get an Aliyah is a mitzvah, you're not the Shliach HaTzibah. But if they call you up for Chasam Torah, they're considering that being Bechabed Yud, that you're the biggest Talmid Chacham, you're the Yochid and Yuchid. So Derech Eretz dictates you really should turn it down the first couple of times, but you're not allowed to turn it down on Aliyah. So Soloveitchik said that's where the minig is, that you say Amod, Amod, Amod. You say three times. So you call them three times. But it's more than three times. You say it three times in the whole Bershus, and the whole Pisman that's printed in the Machzer. So at first it says, we're calling up Kleine, then it says again a second time. Then the third time it says, Amod, Amod, Amod. So he said it even more than three times. So since they already told him to go three times, he doesn't have to be a Sarvan. It's already after the third time. There's a famous shot from the Vilna Gaon on this Moshe Kosei Bidema. So we usually assume that he was crying. Why was he crying? So Pashpat, he's writing about his own death, his obituary. And Rav Soloveitchik said, no, everybody knows they're going to die. He's crying because he wasn't able to be Mekadosh the whole Torah, because it wasn't true yet. That was Rav Soloveitchik suggesting. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the word Bidema doesn't mean tears. It doesn't mean he was crying at the time that he was writing. He was writing Bidimua. Dimua means Meduma. Meduma means if you have Truma mixed into Chulin. And it's bottled Bechor Meyo, so that's called Meduma Tzorech Laharim. It's bottled Truma, it's bottled Bechor Meyo. It's Midirabbanan. And the Torah, all you need is Raif. Tosis has a Gemara like that, that Dimua Truma Shinazar B'chul only needs Menator, only needs Rov. It's only Midirabbanan that you need Meyo. But then Tzorech Laharim, you have to take out that amount and give it to a coin. So the Vilna Gaon suggested, that's how they quote, Moshe Kosei Bidema, he wasn't pronouncing the words. He was pronouncing the words. Bereshis Barlikim is everything. Here he didn't pronounce Vayomas Shem Moshe. He wrote Vov Yud Mem Tov. You can pronounce it Vayomus, then it won't be a lie. But the correct pronunciation must be Vayomas Shem Moshe. So he didn't pronounce it. So when he spelled, when he wrote the letters Vav Yud Mem Tov, it was Bidimua. It was cloudy. It was unclear what the correct pronunciation is supposed to be. After he died, soon after he died, then it turned out that the correct pronunciation is Vayomas Shem Moshe. But at the time that he wrote it, he didn't want to say Vayomas because it wasn't true yet. So he wrote it in such a way that it was Meduma. Yeah, Poshe Pshat is not like that. All the things that they say over from the Vilna Gaon are all pshetlach. He said so much Poshe Pshat, where they only say pshetlach from the Vilna Gaon. Getting more talks about this person, Eov. So there's one famous opinion that the whole thing is a novel and there never was such a person. The bottom, there never was such a person. It was a novel that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Okay, that's a one opinion, Igman. The bottom Tosis quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, I think, that Eov Lahoya doesn't mean that he didn't, that the whole thing is a novel that never existed. There was a person, Eov, and he was a big tzaddik, and the Pasuk is telling us, if he would have suffered so much during his lifetime, his daughters would die, and his sons would die, and all of his money would be lost, he would have not given up his emunah. So it's a novel about a person, but it's not Lahoya v'la nivra, he never existed. The person existed, and the story that's told in Tanakh is because he was so strong in his emunah, this is what would have this is what he would have said if the whole thing, if such a tragedy would have befallen him. So those are two opinions. One opinion, the whole thing is a novel, the other opinion is no, that there was such a person that the Yisurim didn't have. And then the other opinions in the Gemara, that it was a real person, and they're not sure exactly which generation he lived in. Then the Gemara has a lot of agadah about Eov. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. But Lineta, tomorrow I'd like to say the shiur. I'm going out of town for Shabbos, so I won't be back on Sundays. I won't be able to give a shiur. So tomorrow I'd like to give a shiur just from 9 to 10 on the parsha. And then try to go through the end of the perek. I don't think we'll discuss it. We'll try to start Lo Yachbar. Yeah, but it's not so easy. Okay. Until now it was easy. Yeah, but it's going to be a little harder.